Hello, it's Bernie here. Evidently, Bill and Randy want me to tell you people that you shouldn't listen to the show at work or in front of kids because they're swearing. Swearing in the show. There's a few fucks, a few shits, and some words I can't even pronounce. And I'm almost sure that they are drunk, but they're still not part of the 2%. What are they going to play now? Loud music? Jesus, I don't need this crap.
Coming off an interview that we did earlier today with Driftglass and Bluegill of the Professional Left dropped by this morning, and we're putting it out tonight. Now, I got to say, towards the end of the interview, that we did have a big snafu with the internet, which the internet, I live in a very rural area in Australia, and sometimes the internet will just plots. And it did during our Zoom conversation. Didn't come back for a while, so that you will lose a little bit of the ending there as we bottomed out there. But for about 59 minutes, we went at it. Ladies and gentlemen, they are the best to have over for a meeting in the clubhouse. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, this is my interview with Driftglass and Bluegill, who are welcome guests anytime. Ladies and gentlemen, well, once again, we here at the Bill Show have, like Commissioner Gordon in the Batman movies, have lit the searchlight atop Gotham City to summon the professional left from the cornfields to explain more about the ongoing political situation in America and to shamelessly get more hits for this podcast. I've been doing in a dark room next to my laundry for 10 years. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know them, you love them. You can't live without them. And gosh darn it, why should we when they're right here? Driftglass and Bluegill. Kids, get out of the...
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Australia.
How are you doing? It's so good to have you back on the podcast, guys. It's been a while since we last talked. Essentially, listen, I to start us off, I literally have prepared something that I want you to react, because this happened while since we last talked, and I got to admit that I've actually decided in our Bill Show universe, I'm producing a new documentary, basically based on some of the things that we've seen in the political situation these days. I want you to hear a piece of it. I think that you might like it. You ready for this? So yeah. I'm gonna actually.
Where our union was saved by the immortal heroes at Gettysburg. Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was, the Battle of Gettysburg. What an unbelievable, I mean, it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways. It represented such a big portion of the success of this country. Gettysburg, wow. I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to look and to watch. And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor. Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill. They were fighting uphill. He said, wow, that was a big mistake. He lost his great general. And they were fighting, never fight uphill, me boys, but it was too late.
Ken Burns, beat your heart out.
It brought tears to my eyes, man. Yeah. Tears in a rather sick way. I'm working on two more new documentaries. That's, of course, Gettysburg Wow.
And the other one is Iwo Jima Neat. And the Battle of the Bulge. Groovy.
I suggest Hiroshima. Cool.
Cool, man.
Cool. Man. Cool. Oh,
I literally, that got front page news in this in the Sydney paper.
Really?
That, oh, yeah. Yeah. Because it was literally, he keeps, man, he's the hardest working man in show business, man. Because that is utterly fucking nuts. That is utterly demented. We've been watching, and this leads to our first question, ladies and gentlemen. Trump has been deflating. He's been in court, right? He's sweating a lot. He's farting, which is hilarious.
not just dry farts either.
No. These are real lung tears. These are when the paint peeling off the thing. You get the hazmat suit next to you.
Right?
This is just for a man like who grew up in really crass comedy. You guys, man, America, I just fucking love you. It didn't end in world apocalypse. I would be fucking giving you an Emmy. This is great shit.
We try. We do our part.
And well, the thing is now that his quid pro quo that he had going with Vladimir to screw Ukraine, which I'm trying to still figure out what that quid pro quo is, but it was definitely there. He's literally, is it just me or am I watching it? And I'm going, he is really losing it. Things are changing. And then what do we think about, look, say he loses, which I you know what? I'm starting to believe he's going to lose.
He might lose.
Don't do that, man. I'm hanging on from a very thin thread, man. But what happens, first of all, if he does lose, what happens after? That's the thing. What happens after if he loses? And so are we headed for the because these people aren't going to just go away, you know? Yeah. And as we discussed on the last show here, you have multinational corporations giving huge amounts of money for this this guy. So what happens after? Thoughts.
Darling, would you like to step in on that? Or it sounds like a science fiction movie to me.
The Republican Party in the United States has rebranded multiple times in our lifetime, in our podcast lifetime, since 2010, since we started podcasting. They've abandoned George W. Bush and become the Tea Party.
Yeah.
They settled in a real bargain for Mitt Romney in 2012. Yeah. They swallowed their whatever and said, okay, we'll go with Romney. And that was Romney's loss was the last straw for the base.
They didn't get what they wanted.
They didn't get to destroy Barack Obama.
Nah.
So after that, it was over. The real separation is between the Republican base and the Republican party structure.
Right.
Because they were done with the RNC. The Republican National Committee. So then voting for Trump, who in debate stages in 2016 was, you know, pooping all over Bush, was saying, you know, Bush lied us into war and he didn't keep us safe from terrorists. And he was a bad guy.
Yeah.
And George Bush's brother, Jeb, was the RNC's pick.
Jeb!
They wanted the Republican base to swallow another Bush.
And you know something? The base were right. They were right. These people were scum. You know, deliberately lying to them consistently.
Well, to be fair, the base and everyone on the left was right.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
The difference being that we were vindicated and then made into pariahs for being right, because you can't be right when the national media is wrong. It's in the cornfield for that, and you never are allowed out. The right was wrong and humiliated.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the difference. They cannot stand to be humiliated. They cannot stand to be wrong, period. But to be wrong in that way, when liberals were going, told you so, drove them insane. Then we elected a black president. And that's when their brains just snapped.
Right.
That's it. We're done. And
yep.
Well, and what so, I was, yeah, go ahead.
So 2016 was Revenge of the Base.
Yeah.
And enough people in the United States in that one election voted for Trump as a joke.
Yeah.
And you saw that on Twitter the next day of, oh, my God, he won. I voted for him as a joke. You saw more than one tweet like that.
Yeah.
And Trump never won another election. The Republicans never won another election cycle after that.
Right.
And he didn't win the popular vote. We have this weird thing in the United States called the Electoral College.
Yes.
Which steals our democracy. It really does.
Well, it isn't democracy.
It is absolutely. It gives land votes. It gives votes to land.
Yeah.
And so, but 2016, when Trump won, really did make liberals cry.
Yes, I remember.
Everyone saw Democrats crying the next morning.
Yeah.
And that was a high for the Republican base that they have been chasing the second hit of
They've been chasing the dragon of making us cry.
Right. They want that again. They want to shock the media and make liberals cry. That is such a high for them that that is the core of their loyalty to Trump.
But they, you know, the thing is that if Trump goes, say he goes to jail, whatever it is, is it that much of a cult? Because they're insane. I mean, they are totally.
I think there's probably 32% of the electorate, which winds up being 51-52% of the Republican Party that is in that deep a cult.
And that's millions of people.
Yeah, it is.
And what do insane people do who have an inordinate amount of guns and a lot of time on their hands?
It's scary. I'm sorry if I'm talking too much, Dick West. I think there's a sense in that crazy base, however, given the number of January 6th people that are in prison, and the ones that are in prison for a long time are the real serious insurrectionist types.
Yeah.
That if they start an organization, it's going to be immediately infiltrated by the FBI.
Yeah.
And they trust no one. So I think we're going to see lone gunman kind of things. There was a man the other day here in New York who set himself on fire.
I know. I know. Park,
and sadly, he died.
Did he die?
He died. Yeah. And that's, you know, we're going to see more of that. We're going to see individuals, but large scale organizations, they've been spooked by what happened on January 6th and the number of them that got caught, and they feel that someone's watching them.
Yeah,
and they may be right. I think it's worth noting that if you're trying to do anything online or with your phone to organize a rebellion, pro-Trump or otherwise, the FBI has your number.
Yeah.
I think there's also a delusion among the expatriate Republican elites, conservative elites, less so than in 2016, but still this residual sense. This is the Nikki Haley pitch, which was, you know, we're the we told you so caucus.
Yeah.
We're the grown-ups. We told you back in Trump was a bad idea. Then you lost. Now shut up and give us our party back.
Yeah.
And I just think that those people are in for an enormous amount of disappointment, because either you get chaos. You get small groups of violent people just lashing out at whatever authority they can find around them. Mm-hmm. You saw during the pandemic, you saw these people take over state houses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Storming governor's mansions, trying to find governors to execute. And those people were not, you know, summarily executed, which was, you know, unfortunate, because time to thin the herd out a little bit. Just thin the herd. But the other thing is, you know, that scene from Apollo 13.
Yeah.
Where they're running, their oxygen supply is being polluted by carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
And they have to make filters out of whatever they have on hand. If you dump the Republican Party on a table, everything that's in the party now, There's nothing there to make a party out of other than crazy people and a few rich people. Some billionaire money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You can't reconfigure it.
Does this mean another party takes shape that replaces the Republican Party. Sorry, go ahead.
Same party. It'll be the same party. It'll be 80% the same party. The people who are now expatriates have, at my observation has been, they've lowered the threshold for forgiveness way down.
Yeah.
So it used to be like, if you were with Trump in the first term, if you voted for him, you're dead to me. It was like, if you voted for him the second time, you're dead to me. And it's like, well, you know, if you at least don't want to kill Democrats, we can still be friends. You know,
yeah.
Mike Johnson is a complete lunatic. He did one good thing. He can come to the party.
I was going to get onto that, actually, was, yeah, Mike Johnson, was the fact that we just made the alliance with that, with the AUKUS deal, you know? You know, we, yeah, just bought your submarines. Yeah, you're
thank
welcome.
You.
Yeah. Oh,
thank
hey,
you.
Listen,
yeah,
but whatever we can do. We bought six U.S. submarines. We're really, you know, we've more or less bound ourselves in this neck of the woods to the United States. And then, yeah, suddenly you have, you know, a brains trust from Green Acres more or less saying that, you know, we're not going to abide by our alliances anymore. And we're right, shitting bricks down here. We're
right,
shitting bricks.
Right. Right,
you know,
right. Yeah.
And so is every ally of the United States. But
yeah,
what do you, this is another question just brilliantly tied into what you were saying, is that what do you suppose somebody said to Mike Johnson that went, oh, wait a minute, this isn't just fun anymore, this is serious?
Two people talked to Mike Johnson. Two people did.
Yeah.
First one is Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell gave Mike Johnson a leadership lunch and said, and sat him down and said, here's how you be a leader.
Yeah.
And if you follow Marjorie Taylor Greene, or if you pretend to be, if she smells blood in the water, you're gone. Do not cave to her in any way. And he taught Mike Johnson how to stand up. The second group of people that Mike Johnson met with is a group in the United States called the Family. And they are just as Orwellian as you might expect.
I have heard them. They're religious,
they're an
right-wing,
evangelical,
yeah,
Christian lobbyist organization in D.C. that actually Zelensky went and talked to.
Yeah.
And a number of evangelicals in Ukraine went and talked to and said, because Marjorie Taylor Greene's thing is, you know, Zelensky, the Jew, is a Nazi, and anybody for freedom in Ukraine is a Nazi. And that's the straight out of Putin propaganda.
Yeah, yeah.
These Christians, you know, these are Bible believing,
yeah,
people that absolutely can speak the language that Mike Johnson speaks every day,
yeah,
to the Lord.
Yeah.
And they went and spoke to Mike Johnson about the Lord.
Yeah.
And that gave him permission in his mind to say, okay.
Right.
If this is about creating a Bible Belt in Europe.
Oh, okay.
It's not about Putin versus Zelensky.
Yeah.
It's about creating a Bible Belt in Europe.
Oh, my
and
God.
And that I, gave him, and there's a Substack called The Fucking News, which has been documenting this with photographs of Zelensky meeting with the Family and other people, Mike Johnson meeting with Ukrainians at the Family's headquarters. So this is going on, and this is, you know, this is that friend of enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. It's he came to this conclusion. They reached him through. It's like when you operate on a heart by sticking a tube up your leg, you know, they went around the back way.
The
governing part of his job.
Yeah.
And went straight for the heart of his, you know, theocratic, which is completely unconstitutional, his theocratic leadership bones,
yeah,
you know, and convinced him.
He's a scary guy because he's a real believer, man.
He genuinely, yeah, believes in theocracy.
See, yes. I think 9/10 of the people that are in the Republican Party born again, I think a good percentage of them are liars and
grifters. Absolutely. Marjorie Taylor Greene doesn't give a shit about that.
Oh, no. Marjorie Taylor, she's an Amway, yeah, salesman. She doesn't give a
shit. Absolutely.
If it was cool to sell communism and she could get rich doing it, she'd do the same thing.
Absolutely.
You know, yep. And that's why
I'm speaking here as a liberal Christian myself. You know, I know I use the F word, but we go to Sunday school. We go to adult Sunday school and learn about what a revolutionary, nonviolent hippie Jesus was.
Yes, I know.
That's the discussion we have.
How can you not get that if you don't, if you've read the New Testament? How can you not get the fact?
How can you not get that?
That he wouldn't eat at your party. He wouldn't want to be invited to your party. He wouldn't want to become a member of a club that has somebody like you as a member.
He would be overthrowing the tables.
He would be.
And whipping you. That's what he would be doing. Yeah,
badass Jesus. Now, I always thought it was just basically because what I saw in this, and this was like on MSNBC, I heard somebody saying this, and I believed it. That this shows you how easy with numbnuts like Marjorie Taylor Greene in charge, how easy we can slip into a nuclear war. Because if we don't, I really do buy the fact that all this, and I said it on the last show, that the problem that we're having with China, the problem that we're having with Russia, so many of the problems we're having in the Middle East are due to the fact that we have such disability in leadership in the United States, that those alliances, though flawed, have kept the peace since World War II by more or less telling bad actors, we're all allied, you don't try anything.
Right.
If we were to go in there and confront Putin, that would be a slippity slide right into the next Cuban Missile Crisis.
I think it's a race between that and truly finding out which of our Congress people have been paid by Putin.
Yeah, well.
And whether that will make a difference or not, given how much is hid from the Republican base by Republican media here in the United States.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
All the stuff you know, like as a matter of course, they do not know.
They do not know.
That information does not. It's happening 10 feet away from them. And they're completely unaware. And if any of it leaks through, they have an amazing patching system where they just slap up fake news. Hey, Hunter Biden's laptop, and goes away. They have a really efficient denial mechanism.
Absolutely. The first night of jury selection in Trump's hush money election interference trial, Fox News here in the United States had a chyron. Was JFK on LSD?
I know. I got that. I showed that to a friend of mine, Tim Smith, who does the morning show with me here on the radio. And I showed it to him. And I'm revealing all this stuff because I'm working with him now. And he looks at it and he can sit there and goes, I don't believe this shit. No wonder you're crazy.
That's the news. Nuts. They watch that and call it the news.
Yeah. Listen, man, as we are remembering stuff, I do have something for you. I've set up a little game show for you.
Okay. And we love your game shows.
Oh, yeah, I do. I got to set up something nice for you. It involves this. I wish there's a way that I could actually put these clips on so that you could hear them without me putting my microphone next to it. But I'm going to do it anyway, and I'll cut it into the final product.
Okay.
Here is a voice, and I want you to reflect on this voice. This is a quiz, ladies and gentlemen. And Drift Class and Blue Gal, could you test your buzzers, please? Say Aruga.
Aruga.
Aruga. Aruga. There you go. All right. Here we go. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is our first quiz. See who the first person is. And why don't we let this play? Because I think this is actually a good taking off point for a bit of a conversation similar to the one that you had on No Fair Remembering Stuff. Here is from 1992. Who is this guy? And take it away, whoever you are. And there we go.
Like many of you, last month I watched that giant masquerade ball up at Madison Square Garden, where 20,000 liberals and radicals came dressed up as moderates and centrists in the greatest single exhibition of cross-dressing in American political history. Militant leader of the homosexual rights movement could rise at that same convention and say, Bill Clinton and Al Gore
Aruga.
The most pro-lesbian in
I know who it is, too.
History, and so they do.
Okay, all right. Who is it?
His voice through the microphone sounds about a quarter of an octave higher than I remember, but I think it's Pat Buchanan.
It is Pat Buchanan, former speechwriter for Richard Nixon, ladies and gentlemen. You get it.
There she is.
Here is the evidence, ladies and gentlemen. And the evidence is they were always like this. They were like this in 1992.
Yep.
Can you reflect a bit on your knowledge of the esteemed and amazing Pat Buchanan and how that reflects what you were saying about the Republican Party?
Well, Patrick Buchanan and his lovely sister Bay Buchanan, who are never seen together because I think they're the same person.
Yeah.
Was a staple of American media for years. He started off as a Nixon speechwriter and dirty tricks guy.
Yeah.
Before that, I assume he used to beat up orphans and kick dogs. he didn't do that for money. But he's what we call in this country a paleocon.
Yeah.
A primitive, old school, I hate the gays, I hate blacks, I hate immigrants, Republican.
Yeah.
And he was a staple of the Republican Party for decades. And he was Rachel Maddow's debate partner. When they were trying to, be more centristy and like include more people until he went completely off the script and they didn't have him back anymore. He was a regular on the McLaughlin group, as I recall, but he was everywhere. And he ran against George H.W. Bush in 92.
Yeah.
And he knocked him down a couple of pegs. And what he's saying there's absolutely true. We did a recent No Fair Remembering Stuff / Professional Left podcast where we went back into the time machine to talk about how Republicans won in 2004.
Yeah.
What was the major impetus? The major impetus was Karl Rove and Matthew Dowd, who was a racist past since then, managing to put gay bashing legislation on the ballot in like 11 or 13 states.
Mm-hmm.
It passed in every state, but that's what brought out the fundamentalists, who were like a little squishy. They brought him out to reelect George W. Bush. By 2004, even in 2004, this was the most salient issue. Hating gay people was what gets Republicans elected. Finding a group to hate. And before it was gays, it was blacks, but it's still blacks and it's all minorities. And of course it's liberals because these people are all our puppets. We just manipulate them from above.
Me and Dear class, I'm going to interrupt you for one moment and just point out that a large number of black evangelicals came out in those elections as well and voted for Bush.
Yeah, absolutely true.
Because gay marriage at that time in the black community was
absolutely
no way. No way. Yeah.
For a hot minute with my ex, who's an African-American woman.
Yeah.
I attended, I off and on attended an AME church in Chicago, African Methodist Episcopalian Church. And it was very conservative. And the pastor was very clear in his sermons when he congratulated a young man or gave him a handshake. He said, this is a masculine handshake. This isn't anything strange. And they made it clear that gay people were absolutely not welcome in their church and not welcome on their planet. And they thought they were an abomination. And the Bible says so, blah, 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 blah. Those people will always be susceptible. And those are Mike Johnson's, co-conspirators.
What really amuses me is that when you listen to Morning Joe, which for my sins I do, they talk about this halcyon time of Pappy Bush, where we could all talk together and everybody was sweet to one another, and my golly, couldn't we have those times again? Those Norman Rockwell times in which we all just walked down to the fishing hole together with Aunt Bea and Barney, and it's just not fucking true. To illustrate along those lines, ladies and gentlemen, hey, we got a few more voices for you.
Okay.
From your past. It's 1-0. Drift Glass is blitzing here. And now you're gonna have to get all three of these, but I'm sure you can. I'm really sure. Okay, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is for the car. Okay, there we go.
It is inexplicable. He thinks he's smarter than anybody else who's ever not only held that office, but been an American.
This may be the most important election of our lifetime.
I know who that is. Yeah, I know who that is.
And at the same time, so incompetent that 8 years of his administration may cripple America for several generations.
So now we got the president of the United States leading a war on traditional marriage, and people like me who are minding their own business all of a sudden defend traditions and institutions. It used to be 100-0.
I made it just
gay marriage. Now it's 60-40. They do see
problems. Okay. The first one was Mike.
Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me. This is me doing the weather at my local radio station. That's terrible. Okay. Driftglass. Yes.
Huckabee, Gingrich, Limbaugh.
Yeah, I know. I made it too. You know, remember the time when I got Milton Friedman on for you?
Yeah.
Now I've gone too easy.
Yep.
But what's Huckabee doing these days? I haven't seen hide nor hair of that.
Oh yeah,
that crazy little fucker. Where is he?
I think he's selling.
He's selling gold. Children's books and gold. Yeah, he's selling children's books about the children's guide to the White House and children's guide to Donald Trump.
Conservative publishing,
and trying to cover up for his daughter's corruption, utter corruption.
She's not going to
the governor's office of Arkansas. We talked about that in an earlier show.
She may not get in again.
Yeah, she may not over the. And now she's making fun of it on social media. That her lectern is somehow has magical powers, and it's she took two girlfriends to Paris on the state dime.
Yeah, we were talking about that. We're all going to Paris. That's right. Beverly Hillbillies goes to Paris.
Right. And
going away from
that. You know, you can do a lot. You can be a really bad, evil person. But if you are just loosey-goosey with the taxpayers' dollars in that blatant way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That embarrasses the wrong people.
Yeah. We could all be. Go ahead, Driftglass.
This is a point my wife makes frequently and truly, which is one of the most evil men ever to walk the earth in the 20th and 21st century was Richard Bruce Cheney. Just the devil. And he's mostly metal now, so he will never die. He's just an artificial life form that will keep going and going. But Cheney never screwed up on his taxes or his charitable giving. He crossed all his T's and dotted all his I's because he knew that's how they get you. That's how they can bring me down.
Yeah.
And so he gave it all. He gave it when he said he was going to give the money away. He gave it away. When he said he was going to take deductions that were legit, they were all legit. Granted, I think we talked about this before. His donation was to the hospital that put
$26 million. Right. It was found that he made from his stock holdings in his company.
Right?
Yeah.
That he made $26 million in profit because of the Iraq war.
Woo-hoo!
And he said, I'm going to donate that to charity, that if the full amount.
Oh.
And I went and researched how he did it.
Yeah.
And he did everything right. He gave the money to a disinterested agent.
Yeah.
To donate the money to, and now he donated it to the hospital that eventually gave him an artificial heart. So
good decision.
But he donated that money to the hospital. He did not take a tax deduction for that donation.
Yeah.
And he did it through a third party agent who could verify the donation and, confirm that everything was done above board and that the hospital received the money.
Yeah.
And it was well worth $26 million to Dick Cheney.
Yeah, it would be.
Keep the power that he had, because that's the deal.
Right.
That's the deal.
He was the smart shyster. Don't.
And if you look at the other person whose taxes are pristine is Mike Pence.
Yeah.
Mike Pence, who donates 10% of his income every year to charity. You know who else does? Hillary Clinton. Donates 10% of her income. Tithes. Donates 10% of her income to charity.
I never knew that about Hillary.
Yeah. Good Methodist, yep. Hillary.
Yeah, good Methodist. And good so, and when you are running for a national public office, this is how you do it. This is how you pay a price in that you make your taxes, your tax returns are made public.
Yeah.
And you do all the right things. You give money to charity. You make only a certain amount of money. You are invested in blind trusts.
Yeah.
You don't know this. Now, that's the other thing, that our Congress is just corrupt AF.
Yes, it is.
Corrupt AF. And they've got to get rid of the idea that Congress people can own individual stocks.
It is
corrupt.
It is corrupt. And the more John Stewart said when he was up there, he said, as bad as you think it is, it's worse.
It's worse.
And you know, how is this going to change unless that's cleaned up, and who in hell is going to clean that up?
Right.
You know, I mean,
from us to make it happen.
Yeah. Well, with the Supreme Court the way it is.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know,
how are their war stocks doing?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know,
By the way, where's Clarence Thomas been? By the way, I understand he's been away from the post there.
He didn't show up for one hearing. Yeah, he just didn't show up.
What's going on? I don't
know. He was busy. Okay, he was busy. He's been working very hard. Oh, by the way, I'd like to plug another lesser known podcaster named Lawrence O'Donnell. I think his name is.
Oh, I don't know that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
with whom we have had many disagreements.
Yes.
But what he did do last week was to tag the reason you lost your right to abortion. Your reason Roe versus Wade was not Donald Trump. It was George H.W. Bush.
Yep.
Appointing Clarence Thomas and all the voters that voted for him. And then it was George W. Bush and all of you. And it was three Republican presidents and all the tens of millions of idiots who voted for them collectively.
Yes.
That resulted in this happening. This is the voters' fault. Republican voters did this, and they did it for an entire generation. Because there's never going to be a downside to playing to the conservative evangelical right. We're never going to lose Roe, so we can promise them whatever we want. Yeah. And eventually the bill came due. But that was exactly the kind of thing. We both looked at each other and goes, that's what we want to do on our podcast. Remember how we got here. Not that we're here. It's clear we're here.
Yeah.
But how we got here is terribly important.
Yeah.
And who wants to stop us from talking about those things are also terribly important.
Well, I think all the people that claim to be your friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's interesting tightrope to have to walk, because you want those people. Actually, you want Johnson to see, you know, some sort of light at the end of the tunnel. You can't operate the country without having an opposing party that you can at least deal with.
Right.
But most of them are corrupt, and a bunch of them are traitors.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you know, I sit there and look at Cheney, you know, with what's her name? Liz Cheney.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you on all the things she you know, the dirty baby, he called you dirty baby killers and everything like that.
Yeah,
but you know,
yeah.
but you know what? There is a side of me that's going, that's weird. She has there is something reclaimable there. It takes balls to do what she did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it actually split that party to a certain extent to our benefit. And you know, one of the things is that the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? So how much of that really should we appreciate? That we can demonize everybody, or should we keep that the quiet part that we keep in our heads and go, all right, fine, you know, and just don't trust them? You know what I'm saying? Because without those people on that side, you're looking at a pretty grim situation. I mean, I don't trust a Joe Scarborough because I have a memory. And I remember when he was on, you know, just call in from wherever you are. It's all right. You know, we love you. And I played the tape of them off mic going, you know, and just sponging up the Don, like, you know, it was terrible. But how do you you also have to encourage the fact that I like the fact that Joe Scarborough is kicking inside that party and kicking Donald Trump, because Donald Trump still scares the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's Charlie Pierce, who writes for Esquire, and he's a friend of ours. He's a friend. He and I actually email correspond occasionally. So yeah. A very good writer. And his description is all hands on deck, but not all hands on the wheel.
Yeah.
Good. You know, you don't get to steer my party. You don't get to make policy in my party. This is your mess. You fucked this up. This is your disaster. We will help you clean it up, but your job is to be quiet and grab a shovel and help us clean up your mess. This is how this works. And that is something I wrote a long thing about, the relationship, the comparison between these Never Trumpers and white Russian aristocrats after the fall of Russia, which is like, we want to be treated like royalty. We were treated like royalty in the other party. So your job
that's
is
true. I remember that.
Continue the honoring, continue the applause. When we say do something, you should just shut up and do it. And our response should have been, no, you now work here as a scullery maid. Now, in our party, that's an honorable position. But your job is to clean up your mess. And and too many of my dear liberal friends were just too anxious to jump. No. It's okay. They love us now. And they just threw them at them. And I swear, I took a nap and I woke up. And suddenly, my liberal TV was wall-to-wall Republicans. Former Republicans, wannabe Republicans, or people who want to blame both sides.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, the one person, I'll give him this, David French, who writes for the New York Times now and had to tidy up his resume real fast to make good, because he was a hardcore, gay-hating, Democrats are baby-killing monsters, conservative, writing for, I think, the National Review. They tidied him up and moved him to the New York Times. And he wrote a column about the pro-life movement was never real.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, there's like one line that says, you know what really kind of galls me is the pro-choice people were kind of right all along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have never heard any other Never Trumper acknowledge, first of all, that liberals exist at all, other than, you know, they're just as bad as the extremes on the right.
That's all you want, isn't it? You just tell me you're sorry, and I'll be fine with you.
What your parents taught you when you were 4 years old.
Yeah.
When you do something wrong, apologize. Take responsibility and apologize. And they can't do it.
Do you have any personal friends that are Republicans?
I used to.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, that's when you are they buried in the crawl spaces now?
It was a lot more sporting when Barack Obama was president.
Yeah.
I worked in manufacturing.
Yeah.
I worked in workforce development manufacturing. So I had a lot of people who owned factories, worked at factories. These are conservative guys.
Yeah.
And I would get from these guys, you know, shirtless Barack Obama pictures and shirtless Vladimir Putin pictures and say, which one's the strong leader and which one's the pussy? Because they hated Barack Obama. They tolerated me because I was helping them get what they needed done. But I found out real quick that debunking these people, this is in 2007.
2009.
Yeah. Debunking these people did no good whatsoever.
No.
Yeah. I could say here's a bunch of Muslims blocking traffic in New York and causing disruption because they hate us.
Yeah.
No, that's actually a picture of them at prayer. They do this every week. It's at this location. And well, that sure, that's but that's from Snopes. Everyone knows Snopes is owned by, you know, Soros.
Soros.
Okay. Here's four other sources and pictures. Well, you know, liberals are bad too, probably worse. Hey, how about the Bears? You like the Bears? So it was lie, denial of rebuttal.
Yeah.
When you corner them, they will say, well, you know, liberals are just as bad. Usually worse. Both sides are terrible. Both sides are awful. I'm sure you'll agree.
Because
David Brooks says that, and he's one of you guys, right?
Yeah.
And then it's on to change the subject. And I realized they're never going to change. The trajectory of those people was in towards Trump. Before Trump existed, they were heading that way all along.
Yeah.
And I can't sustain. I can sustain a cordial relationship with someone in church that I nod to.
Uh-huh.
But that's about as far as I can go because I just can't. You're a fascist.
You're a fascist. Yeah. Blue gal, same deal.
Yeah, I work with some Republicans. Again, church.
Yeah.
We do charity work together. Doing charity work, these folks have a lot of energy. They want to help people that are less fortunate than they are. And on that level, they can work with them.
They have a good side, you know.
Yeah, they have a good side. They're willing to organize for cancer patients and orphans and, you know, whatever. And so we talk about that.
Yeah.
I know that they know. You know, like...
There's certain areas that we don't go to no man's land.
Well, and they the amazing thing is a lot of them are government retirees.
Yeah, that's strange.
With pensions from the state. Well, and I mean, this is the state capital, so that's expected. But you're sitting there. Listen, this is, you know, you're a government bureaucrat for 30 years.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, government's evil, government's wrong, government can't do anything, but you're on Social Security, Medicare, and a state government pension that my governor fought for like hell to get you.
Yeah.
And your governor tried to destroy. That's the other thing about Never Trumpers is, don't talk to me, because when this is all over and this blows over and your party decides to rebrand, I know the first thing you're coming for is my Social Security and your Social Security.
No. All the New Deal must die.
Yeah. The New Deal must die. And the answer to that is no. And it should. I know it's no for you, too, but you are depending on my party to protect your benefits.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that does not fly with me.
Good answers. Good answers. Hey, listen, I've got one more tape for you. And have we got time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got time? Cool. Yeah. We did Randy actually put together a little thing on Christian nationalism.
Oh.
And these guys are scarily in charge in this party.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this tape. This is from somebody who is a founder of the Right Response Ministries. He's a senior pastor of the Covenant Bible Church located northside of Austin, Texas. Okay. He's a guy named Joel Webben, who is a top 1%er in podcasts. He's 1% podcast. He's got thousands of followers. He's actually, and I listened to this guy, and it literally, again, I found it to be extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. Have a listen to this, and we'll talk from there. Here it is.
I'm wondering what you think about women having the right to vote. Yeah, I've said this before, so I don't mind saying it again. No, I don't think women should vote. I think that women's suffrage has done more for women's suffering. One is Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a sinner, right? Women must learn quietly and in full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Found the woman was made from man and for man. Women, on average, in general, more gullible, more vulnerable to being deceived than men. Yes, women are more easily deceived than men. That has been the position of the church throughout church history, like all the way up until yesterday, because we see it all the time in our experience and because the Bible says so. If only men could vote, we didn't have women's suffrage, we would not have one Democrat president in the last 50 years. So no, I don't think women should vote. And it's not just because they vote badly, and they do. Yeah, in general, men vote better than women. They do, because men are less prone to being deceived and they're less emotional. Men were called to make decisions for large groups of people. Women are called to make decisions for the four cute, chubby-cheeked people sitting in her lap. Well, the sword is a phallus, and phalluses belong to men. So no, I don't want women voting In general, men can bench press more than women, but there's a few women out there that can bench press more than a few men. Certainly, of course.
That scared the crap out of me. What the fuck is that? That is absolutely the most crazy. And then you figure it out. Look, this is a war specifically on women.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take this, war that we're fighting right now in this election, if you look at what's happening in Arizona, where they put in an 1863 rule made by a guy who evidently had a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old and an 11-year-old wife, who basically was making these things up, along with making rules on dueling. And this is an organized assault on women. And they were not that far from, you know, what, you know, blessed be the fruit. We're not that far from it. That could be the guy in charge in that fictional podcast, that fictional thing.
Well, and don't forget that when Margaret Atwood wrote The Handmaid's Tale, and she still has the clippings, everything in that book is something that has already happened somewhere in the world when she wrote it. So the removal of women's banking rights had happened in some African country. The you know, these kind of things. And there's a video on YouTube where she goes through all the clippings. And she has newspaper clippings of all of the from around the world where these things have already happened. And so when you call Handmaid's Tale fiction, it's actually historical fiction. And she took things that have actually happened around the world many times in the name of religion, and put it in a book and created a world where all of that happened. Gilead.
Yeah.
So, and controlling fertility and controlling sexuality and controlling political power, what it's all about.
What it's all about. Well, I in the effort to find out what why misogyny was such a real feature of right-wing politics in America now, I did some research, and it was a wonderful article written by a minister, a guy named Nathaniel Manderson, and he wrote it in Salon, and it answered that question. And he said this, he said this, and I want you to kind of reflect on this. As roles for women have changed, as divorce becomes more common, as same-sex marriage gains a firmer footing, and now with the movement for transgender rights and visibility becoming more public, the panic of the Christian nationalists have become ever more desperate. This is where all that rage among evangelicals comes from. Understand, most people are motivated politically based on how they perceive policy decision affecting their day-to-day life. Nothing affects our lives more than what is happening to our families. When things fall apart at home, it can feel helpful, even if it's not healthy, to blame someone or something besides themselves. The problem is in the mirror. An effort to pass blame along to others is quite human and quite wrong. So what they are basically saying is that the reason the family is dying, and it's because of women.
Right.
Has that person met my ex-husband?
Oh, man, that's dark, Blue Gal, man. You traded up. You traded up.
I did.
We did a podcast about No Fair Remembering the End of the World. And it was all about all the false predictions of the end of the world going back 2,000 years. And just every 3 years, somebody prominently, you know, in 1604 and 600 AD and 1200 AD, just over and over and over again. They're all wrong all the time. All right. So you have a tradition of people misinterpreting scripture. You also have on the evangelical right this thing that's almost like the NRA in that. Yeah. If you can't field strip an AK-47 blindfold and tell me what every part does, you don't have any business talking about guns at all. You know, if you get one detail wrong, then your authority is bullshit. And I don't have to listen to you. Same thing with theology. These guys can actually quote chapter and verse of the Bible. If you can't do that, then they don't have to listen to you because you're just a heathen. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. This is what drove them crazy about Bill Clinton, because Bill Clinton actually quoted the Bible to them better than they ever did themselves. Yeah. He was more accurate in his theology than any of these assholes are, and they hated him for it.
Yeah.
But what this guy depends on is the literal and inerrant word of God. The Bible is literally true. Every word is true, and it's all written by God. And that is a product of a conference at Niagara Falls in 1890. That is not 2,000 years old, because evolution was coming on. And evolution was a threat to the idea of creation, as happened 9,000 years ago on a Wednesday. Bishop Usher proved it. He counted the begats, and that's when it happened. And evolution comes along and says, actually, things are millions or billions of years old. And the church freaked out. They said, we cannot tolerate science displacing religion. So we have to find a cure to science. And the cure was, we're going to go up and come up with a strategy where the Bible is literally true, and anything that you can't explain is a miracle. Period. That's it. End of story.
Wow.
And they just shut science completely out of the equation. Now,
1890, this happened.
1890-ish. It was called the Niagara Creed, I think it was called. And it was all, there was literalism cooking around for, you know, for decades or for centuries, but it wasn't formalized as a U.S. evangelical creed until after the Civil War. And, you know, when science started to get scary to these people and they didn't like where it was going. You know, my grandpa was not an ape. You can't tell me I'm descended from monkeys. That's disrespectful. I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
And since then, they've gotten, because what it gives to simple-minded people is certainty. It gives them heaven for us, hell for the bad people, and absolute certainty of what's going to happen. I don't need to worry about anything because I'm saved. You know, like my wife always says, I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven.
Oh, don't get me started. I mean, the other thing that was going on during that period, of course, was intense interest in spiritualism and talking to the dead.
Right.
Because people had lost family members during the Civil War and had no closure.
Yeah.
And so talking to the dead was a huge thing. And the overlap of all the things that we're dealing with today, and, you know, history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes over and over again. What we're dealing with AI, what we're dealing with COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what we're dealing with this intense religiosity that will not accept climate change.
Yes. Oh my God.
It's true here.
And stick your head out the window.
Yeah.
Because, you know, literally towns just wiped off the map, and there are still people in Parliament here that are sitting there saying, you know, well, it's just all a thing. You know, it's all
And we've got RFK Jr. running for president here with a millionaire climate science denying, vaccine denying.
Yeah.
Billionaire woman as his running mate who's funding his campaign.
Well, 13% of the vote in Michigan last time I checked, wasn't it?
Yeah, something crazy like that.
13% could really damage.
Yeah. But it looks like what's interesting is it looks like that those votes are coming from Trump.
Oh.
And it makes sense.
Well, that's all right then.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because vaccine denial is the one thing where they booed Trump.
That's right.
You know, I think you ought to get your vaccines. I got vaccinated, and they started booing.
They booed him.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
Dear God. Can you imagine living with those people? Jesus, you'd be stepping on eggshells every fucking day. You know, I mean, seriously.
Well, and that's the other trend in the United States, which is sad, but we have a whole generation of people between the ages of 18 and 30 who have separated from their parents and don't speak to their parents anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think
also have a generation, that same generation, who's never known anything but disaster.
Disaster. The 9/11,
right. COVID,
the 2008
Trump.
Housing bubble.
Yeah.
The economic disaster that was. And then COVID.
Yeah. You also
and Iraq. And, you know, everything has always been that way for them. Yeah.
You also see people my age literally kind of turning on the young. And I refer this because I saw Bill Maher the other night, in which he ranked
dead
on
to me.
Oh God, man, he ranked on what has happened to this fucker. You know, he is basically gone after. He was going after Canada. You know, and he was sitting there. Well, it's not as good as you think it is. Well, it's fucking better than your place, man.
Right,
because
right.
at least I could walk into a 7-Eleven, not worry when I'm going to get my ass shot off. Right, you know, right. And he's going on there with that shit. And anytime he gets a chance, he's heaping on these kids in college that are protesting what's happening in Gaza.
Gaza, yeah, yeah.
They're kids. They're watching other kids get killed. Of course they're protesting because they have a heart, not because they're anti-Semitic.
No, because they're traumatized by watching children suffer.
Yes.
That's why.
And by the way, killing 30,000 kids because they killed 2,000 viewers is not a proportional fucking response.
No, it's not. No,
and
Bibi
Netanyahu is a fucking fascist.
He is a fucking fascist and he's got to go. Our alliance with him in the United States is morally wrong.
Yeah. That's it.
Morally wrong.
But
here's the other thing, and I say this all the time. I'll say it to your listeners, too. We can't elect Bibi Netanyahu to be president of the United States. And if we reelect Trump, that's what we're doing.
That's exactly what we do.
Bibi Netanyahu is in office to prevent being held accountable for his corruption.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And Trump wants the same thing. He wants the protection of office to prevent him from being held accountable for his corruption.
I really think
if you let him get elected, you're just putting our BB
office. Absolutely.
He's a Zionist because it's convenient. Trump is very pro-Israel.
Yeah. But he's flexible.
Money.
Yeah, he's flexible. But I mean, it's a terrible, terrible line to have to walk that Biden's had to walk.
Absolutely.
Well, as you can see that it was a very, we lost the connection right there. That's where we lost it. It's very aggravating. I'd like to thank Driftglass and Blue Gale for stopping by. It was an informative discussion. I found out things that I didn't know. Hopefully you found out things you didn't know. I may please get and start listening to the Professional Left. If you listen to them, listen to us, listen to them. They are absolutely fantastic. They are much better at doing weekly podcasts than I am. And they do it as a business. So support them in any way you can. They are the Professional Left, and they have been going on for, 10 years. They are fantastic. So if you want to catch more of them, please tune into their show. Until next time, folks, we will see you, and we will be doing another show. Another one will be dropping with me and Randy in the next couple of days. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.